Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome. This is Kingdom Advancement, and this is your host, Prophetess Lisa Cox. How are you this morning? I hope you are well in the Lord. I am glad to be able to have joined you on this beautiful day. It is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It is the seventh day. It's the Sabbath day, the day the Lord made for us to have rest on His holy day. He has chosen, and He chose it for us, not for us to serve the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is to serve us. And it is a time for resting. Resting meaning truly, you can rest physically, but the resting is enter into His rest, His joy. Not to be anxious, not to be so busy and all over the place. And, you know, you got to come out of that mindset of, oh, we're in the work week, so we got to go, 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 go. Nope, it's a time for family. It is a time to be with the Lord and spend time with the Lord and hear from the Lord and to be refreshed, revived, renewed. If you do want to rest physically, you can do that. But this is a time that is truly a time for us to be restored and to develop our relationship with the Lord. So in this morning, that is what we're doing. And we're learning and we're hearing. And I pray, as I begin to pray and open us up in prayer, that your heart and your mind will be open and alert and receptive to hear what the Father is saying to you, Father God is saying to you. So let's go before the throne in prayer and ask the Father to come, ask Holy Spirit to move and come and be in the midst of us and through the airwaves and minister to you and those of you who are listening under the sound of my voice. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you that you have given us this day. There's no other day that will be created that is like this day. You have made this day unique. You have made it, Father God, and you have given it to us for us to enjoy. You said it is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice. The us is us, your children. The us is your people. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And even for those that don't know you, Father God, whether they're in situations and circumstances that are challenging or troubling, Father, I pray right now that you would go right where they are by your Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, you will minister to their heart and their mind this morning, that you will work in their heart and their spirit this morning, that this spirit man, that you would bring whatever conviction is needed in their life so that they will know that you are God and that you love them and that you have the best for them and that there is a word for them this day, that situations and circumstances can be changed and turned around. They don't have to stay or be where they are, especially spiritually, that they would be alive in you. Father, thank you for this word of true salvation, because truly your son, Yeshua, which is part of your name and the word deliverance in salvation, Father God, is what we have as your children today. So, Father, we thank you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will move through the people of God, that you will speak a word in due season through me. Let your Spirit move. You are welcome, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way. Do exceedingly abundantly, Father God, above all we can ask or even think, according to the power, which is your Holy Spirit that is working within us, your people, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God is good, and He's good all the time. Amen. So let's get right into the word. Where I left off last time was with sharing with you from the book of John. Okay? We left from the book of John. But I do want to I want to go to what the meaning of this word Hebrew in the ancient Hebrew is. Because understand that Jesus was Jewish. Yes, he was. He spoke Western Aramaic. And that's ancient Western Aramaic and ancient Hebrew. He did not speak Latin. He did not speak Greek. He did not speak the European language. Okay? There was not that coming out of Yeshua's mouth. And neither did his disciples speak that. They were Jewish. They were Hebrew. And they spoke Hebrew. And so they related to each other in Hebrew. And just to give you some idea, just as we have sayings in English, and some people, we have sayings as Americans in America, so did the Jewish people when they were in Israel, and even when they weren't in Israel, Israel being that land that God gave them, flowing with milk and honey. And sidebar, when God gives you something and he says yes, it doesn't matter what man says. You can say, I conquered, it's mine. You can say, oh, I snatched it from them and we won it in a war. No, when God says it is theirs, it is the Jewish people's, it is yours or it is mine, it doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what man tries to do. It belongs to you. It belongs to us. It belongs to the Jewish people. That does not mean that nobody else can live there, okay? Because we're supposed to get along and walk in peace. So that land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people for managing. And the true owner of it is God. The whole earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof and everything that dwelleth therein. So if you got an issue with the Jews managing and being in Israel and saying this is what we want for Jerusalem, take it up with the true and living God, their God, my God. That's the end of that. That's all I'm going to say for that. That the rest of it I'll say for another time. But we want to go right to the Word of God. We want to go into John 3:16, and you can open your Bibles there. And before we go to that, because I do want to continue on where I left off there about salvation, about how do you come to a place of being saved. And speaking of that word salvation, because some people don't understand what it is. Some folks will look at it as, oh, well, that's, you know, what I know as an American, because oftentimes people look at the Bible and want to read it through American eyes and Western way of thinking, and that's not what the Bible is. It is a Hebrew book. It was written by Jews, and so to understand it in its true context, in its meaning, as it was written, when it was written, you need to understand what the word means in its original word of meaning, and that is ancient Hebrew. And so we'll do that. So the word salvation, and let's go to that word, salvation. Salvation comes from an ancient Hebrew word, okay? And the Hebrew word, ancient Hebrew word is Moshiach, okay? M-O-S-H-I-A-H. That is an ancient word, and it means causing another to be rescued. And there's a word that is Yesha'a, that means saved in ancient Hebrew, the word save, S-A-V-E, and that means to rescue. Now, in context, it would mean in context throughout the Bible, the Old Testament part of the Bible, in the Tanakh, it would mean throughout the Old Testament, it means to rescue someone from his enemy, okay, or trouble or illness, all right? So that's what that means. Moshiach, M-O-S-H-I-A-H, that ancient Hebrew word. And so when we talk about that, if you look through the Old Testament, you will see that people were being saved. The Israelites were being saved from their enemy. They were being rescued from their enemy. They were being rescued out of trouble. They were being rescued from illness, because there were times where people were ill. There were women who were barren. There were people who were sick. And even in the New Testament, even more so, Jesus demonstrated God's kingdom here on earth, saving people from their enemy. An enemy doesn't necessarily have to be a person. It can be a process of something that is happening. It could be a system. It can be a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of mental instability. It can be a spirit of lust, a spirit of adultery, a spirit. Those are enemies. The spirit of poverty, those are not friends. Those do not benefit the spirit of a person, the spirit man of a person, or the natural of a person. Okay? An enemy can be being on drugs. An enemy can be being on alcohol, being sexually addicted, fornication, having sex outside of marriage. And there's a reason why God says don't do that, because he sees down the road what we as human beings cannot see. And a lot of people, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, I want to have my fun now, but are you willing to pay the cost later on? There's a cost that has to be paid later on. And that later on can be 1 minute, 1 second, 1 moment. It could be an hour. It can be years. And unfortunately, in this world today, there's often an attitude, oh, I'll worry about that when I come to it. Well, why worry? I'll deal with that when I come to it. Really? Most of the time, people can't deal. And they want to take their life. Or they end up getting into drugs and alcohol. They go deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is human beings. I'm not saying just one person specifically, but as human beings, when we don't allow God to save us and walk in his kingdom, there's only one other kingdom, and that's the kingdom of darkness, which belongs to the devil. And then we have the world which he was thrown down from heaven, him and those angels who decided to go and be on his side and do his dirt. Heaven kicked them out, defeated them, and threw them down. They didn't win. Where did they end up? The devil ended up being right here on this earth, being able to have rule in open space wherever he wants, to whomever is willing and is not covered by God, is not under that umbrella and not in the relationship with the Lord. Oh, what are you saying, Lisa? Oh, the devil's attacking me? Yeah. Yes, indeed. Let me correct English. Yes, the devil can be attacking you. Sometimes it can be just you being carnal. You just taking on the world's attitudes and ways. Everything is not always the devil's fault. But he does have influence. And we are people who do have self-control. There are some things that we do with the influence of the enemy, and systems and attitudes and ways and listening to other people, their beliefs, their mindset that do not align with God, that are totally opposite of God, worldly systems, worldly ways and attitudes that influence us, if we allow them to influence us, that causes us to not be in a place of being saved totally from that situation. And I'm talking about unsaved people. I'm not talking about saved people. I'm not talking about people who know the Lord, who have relationship with God and a personal relationship. I'm talking right now about people who are lost, because that's what God calls you. You are lost. Lost because you're not with him. You're not in the home country that you belong to, which is his kingdom. Kingdom, his country, his dominion, his rulership. See, there's a rulership here that the devil does and has access to all those who are not in the kingdom of God. He has access to you because by default, you chose him. You said no to God, you automatically chose the devil's ways. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they opened up that door for the devil to have his way. And he deceived them. He deceived them and had them thinking that God wasn't who he said he is, that God was trying to hold something back from them. God was trying not to give them what they should have. He lied. He deceived them. He even mixed the truth with lies to make it seem like, oh, that it was correct. And here the fall came and everything was cursed, including the atmosphere, the ground, the airways, the water, the animals. Everything changed. Animals lived in peace. Man was supposed to live forever. Man lives forever no more, unless he is restored through Yeshua, whose name, the first part of his name, Yah, is the first four of God's name, Yah, in the rest of God's name that says Yahweh, Yahweh, and that is part of Yeshua's name. It's Yah, it's the Yod, actually, Hey, Ba, Hey. And we pronounce it Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. So the Savior, Yeshua, the first part of his name, Yah, is part of God's name. And then the rest of his name, Yasha, means save, it means deliverer, it means rescue. So literally, Yeshua in Hebrew, because Jesus Christ, that name is it's gone to the Western and the Latin way of speaking it. The original ancient Hebrew is Yeshua. Okay, and even in ancient Greek, it's close. It has the O-U-S at the end. It's pronounced slightly a little bit different, but this is Hebrew we're talking about. And Yeshua, HaMashiach, the one who is the Messiah, belonging to Ben David, the tribe of Ben David, the lion, the tribe of Judah, that is who he is. The Son of the Living God. And so he is the one that saves. And that word, Yeshua, is salvation. The word Moshiach is causing another to be rescued. Now, it's Moshiach because it is a hyphal participle verb in ancient Hebrew, which is an action. And Moshiach changes into an active, meaning causing one to be rescued or one who performs the action, which would mean one causing another to be rescued or a rescuer. And rescuer in ancient Hebrew means deliverer, savior. So we're right back to Yeshua, Jesus, being, and that's Jesus of Nazareth, not all the other Jesuses that were in Israel, not all any other Jesuses that were anywhere else. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth that was born of the Virgin Mary, and his father, earthly father, was Joseph. His heavenly father was God and still is God. Hallelujah. So understanding right now that this word salvation and what it means, there are people who need to be rescued. That is what true salvation is. If you do not know God the Father, you do not have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about idol gods. I'm not talking about a stone or a metal god. I'm not talking about an animal that's a god. I'm not talking about the universe that people consider God and trees and all of that. That is not God. God is the creator of those things. The creative things are not God. It is the creator who is God. And that is the living God. He says he is the living God because he speaks, he breathes, he moves, he's active, he's interactive with his creation. And creation bows and yields to him, and so does it does to his son, Yeshua. The devil doesn't respond to any other name but the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. He responds to Jesus Christ, the name. He responds when it's spoken from somebody in the body of Christ, which is belonging to Yeshua, because he is the head of the church and he is the bridegroom. We are his bride. Anybody who has that authority, which is given by God in relationship with him, that is part of our inheritance. The authority comes from God. What authority? The authority that was taken from in the garden by what Adam allowed to happen and what Eve allowed to happen by listening to the devil. He had no authority. It was Adam, meaning Adam and Eve, who had the authority. And that was lost when they allowed the devil to trick them, deceive them, and turn and sin against God, walk in pride, and say, I'm going to do what God said not to do anyway. he's hiding something from me because the serpent just told me. And so therefore, I'm going to go and take from this good tree, the tree of good and evil. Okay? The tree of good and evil. You have Adam and Eve who would know what good and evil was. God says you have every other tree in this garden, but don't touch this one. They ended up touching what God said not to touch. Have you ever done that as a child? Your parent told you, this is mine. You can have anything else in here, but don't touch this. But you decided, well, you know, I'm curious, or I want to touch it anyway, and you touched it. And then there was a consequence, was it not? And so did you blame your parents for that because you disobeyed? Why blame God for what disobedience man does today and what Adam and Eve did? Oh, well, he created us, and he knew that was going to happen, but he also knew he gave you a choice. So you had a choice. We have a choice. And even today, we have a choice to either choose him or choose what the serpent, the devil, is saying and whispering in the ears of many people, even Christians. God don't love you. God's not going to come through. He's not listening to you right now. Oh, he did it for you before. He ain't going to do it again. He won't do it again. He's not powerful enough. Oh, you should try and do it yourself. Oh, God, it's taking too long. Oh, this hurts too much. I need something now. God is able to heal and deliver and even do it without man. He's able to do it. And so healing comes from God. True healing, true salvation comes from God. And so if you do not know the Lord God today as your personal God, your Father, and Yeshua as your personal Lord and Savior, he's not just Savior of your life, but he's Lord over your life. Meaning he has full and total control that when he says, daughter, I want you to get up this morning, and instead of doing this, I want you to do that. Instead of getting frustrated when you go to work today and flying off with your mouth and speaking really quick, I want you to keep quiet. That is Lord telling you and saying this is, and why does God do that? Why does he do that? Because he knows and he sees the end and the beginning and the beginning and the end. He knows the end and the beginning. He knows everything that's going to happen. And so what he has done is he has put it for us so that we will not fall into an entrapment of the enemy. Yes, it may look good. It may look nice. It may even smell good. It may even seem like nothing bad could ever happen or no trouble could ever happen, even if it's something that looks like it's good. If it's not God, leave it alone. What do I mean by that? Is that what God told you to do? Somebody else may be doing something. God told them to do that, but is that what he told you to do? Well, God sent so-and-so over to this country to go and minister and to be a missionary, and, you know, they asked me if I would go with them. Is that what God told you to do? Or are you going by what man thinks you should do? And the same would be for those who are unsaved. Well, you know, I believe my mama was a doctor, my daddy was a doctor, my grandmother, my grandfather, they were all doctors or either teachers. So I need to be a doctor or a teacher too. Really? Is that what God said you ought to do? The word of God says bring a child up in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. That's spiritually, meaning that they need to know who God is spiritually, the living God. The God who is alive, who moves and breathes, who speaks, who's interactive with his people, who will come down from heaven through his son, Jesus Christ, through his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and he has on this earth and walk and change and transform everything in you. It's a heart transformation, having a relationship with God. It's not going through religion. It's not going to church. That's not what salvation is. It's not having your name on a roster or posted on a gold piece or a brass piece and put on the back of a chair or a pew or plaqued upon a wall. That is not salvation. It's not being on the board of trustees at the church. It's not serving inside of the church. That is not true salvation for those who do not know Yeshua as Lord and Savior. And God is not your personal God. If God was to come before you right now and visit with you, and he can, or turn the television on and you see a message or hear a message, God can speak and use man and give these words like so many people he's had and done, and I've heard the testimony. Are you saved today? Or you may be trying to hurt yourself or kill yourself today. God loves you. Those are not coincidences. Those are appointed Moedim times that God is speaking to you. He will use television. He can use even a sign that's on the street posted up somewhere. It's a matter of being sensitive. It's a matter of being sensitive. It's a matter of being sensitive in your spirit, man. How desperate are you to know who God is? Are you one that says, I got this. I don't need God. I got money. I got a house. I got cars. You know what? A lot of people have that, and they're miserable. They think they're happy. They think they have peace, but they don't have true peace. True peace is not the absence of conflict. And it's not the absence of trouble. True peace is not having fear, anxiousness, worry, no doubt, no unbelief. In the midst of all troubles and storms, there is peace within your spirit and within your heart. You're not riled up. You're not anxious. You're not flying off the handle. There's no profane language coming out of your mouth. You're not being mean-spirited. You're not rushing off to go and see, what can I do real quick? What can I do? What can I do? I, that orchestra, me, myself, and I, it gets people in a lot of trouble. It gets human beings in a lot of trouble, trouble that God does not have for you, and even trouble to the point where they could end up premature death before they're supposed to leave this earth. Now, God has something for those who are unsaved and for those who are saved. And if you are a believer in Yeshua and you are saved, we have a mandate from God. Go into all the world, the Great Commission, and preach the gospel to every living thing. Yep, you can preach it to the animals too. I heard a brother share his testimony. He used to preach to his horse. He didn't have an audience. He didn't have a congregation. He was a young man, and he knew that God had called him to ministry, and he started preaching. Preacher right to his horse, and continued to do that until God took him to a place where he was ministering and preaching to people. It doesn't mean just because you come to salvation that you're going to be a preacher behind a pulpit. God's with you to minister. You minister to people individually, and you share your testimony, what God did for you and how he did it for you and how he did it for others, and the testimonies and the prayers that he has answered. He's a faithful God. He's able to save. He's mighty to save and mighty to deliver. John 3:16 says, and it says, and it reads this. It says here that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We want you saved, healed, delivered, and set free. And for those who are saved, healed, delivered, and set free, it's a process that when we do need deliverance and we do need to be rescued from any sickness, disease, situation, circumstances, whatever, God is there for us. We call upon the name of Yeshua, and he will answer us where we give our heartfelt prayer. So for you who do not know the Lord, I pray that you would say, Father, God, I am a sinner. Come and save my life. Come and rescue me, deliver me. Take me out from being in a place of disobedience. Save me, heal me, and deliver me. I believe your son Jesus came and died for me on the cross. He is your son, and he rose again on the third day, and he rose so that I can rise. save me, heal me, and deliver me. I receive you, Yeshua, as my Lord and Savior. Well, I pray that if you pray that prayer, in Jesus' name, you say amen. And believe it in your heart when you spoke it and confessed it with your mouth, not with your mind. And you are part of the family of God now, a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. And there's a process of your salvation that God will work through you. It's a transformation of the heart. And you will begin to see your thinking change, your habits change, your ways change. And you get a Bible, the Word of God, get the King James. You can get the New American Standard. One of the better is the Tree of Life Bible, which is brought back to the Hebrew language and understanding. It's in English, and they brought it in doing as much of it as they possibly could, and they continue to put out the full Bible, the New Testament and the Old Testament, and they even have the Psalms, and they have some studies. Go ahead and get into the Word. Start in the book of love, the book of John. Start there in the Gospels. Read one for the Genesis in the beginning. Read the book of Psalms. Start at the beginning and Proverbs in every single day. That is praise. That is wisdom. That is worship, the book of Psalms and Proverbs. And it's also prayers, the most powerful prayers that have been prayed on the face of the earth that God has answered. Well, God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and establish you in his peace. This is Kingdom Advancement Prophetess Lisa, and I hope you have an awesome and blessed and victorious and safe and good and fruitful day. God bless you. Bye-bye.